Hello, this is Joe Tomlin for Fringe Review, and I'm talking to a producer and a performer. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Natasha Rock. I'm at the Fringe Festival, and I am performing in a show called You're Good for Nothing, I'll Milk the Cow Myself.
And how did you come up with that title?
So it's a line that my grandmother actually said, but she said it in French. Vous êtes tous des bons à rien. My show is an hour and a half, but I'm performing only 50 minutes at the Fringe. So that line is in it, but it's missing the extra 20 minutes about what happens with my grandmother. But it's a show about family and things that are transmitted between my grandmother, my mom, and I, and how we fight in families and how we find peace. But this version of the show just has the fighting, so a lot of fighting.
And have you always been a performer?
No, I actually don't really identify as a performer. I'm a writer, and I kind of set myself a challenge of, you know, you're like, okay, in the next year I will get published. And then you're like, well, my challenge is not something I have control on. I don't control publishing myself. And so I decided to do a stage performance, because then I am publishing myself on stage by, you know, running my thing in front of strangers.
So how is it that, do you always write your own shows? Do you always write first?
So I work a lot as a producer and as an interpreter, and I facilitate other people's stories. I work as a storyteller, and so a lot of my most visible work is actually me interviewing, kind of like what you're doing, interviewing other people. I've worked with veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan war, and I've done a lot of like interviews. I work a lot with students and with people telling stories of their lives. And so this is actually one of this effort to be me as a performer and as a writer performing and saying my own stories instead of other people's stories.
So what draws you to the style that you just mentioned about taking other people's stories? What is it that fascinates you about that?
I think like sitting down with someone and sharing the stories we tell ourselves about our lives is just like, it's sacred work. It's this opportunity to sit with someone and just like make meaning together in an interview. And you ask them questions that they maybe haven't asked themselves, and then they come up with something that's meaningful to them in this moment of an exchange. And I think this is like a building block of civilization. And it's like this is the work that makes us weave our lives into each other's lives and feel like we're a community, we're together. So I think it's really important work.
Yeah. Where did this interest begin? How can you go further back into where was this germ of this type of story? Where was it born?
I don't know. I guess I was a nosy child. And I, you know, if you're nosy and you're like, people are endlessly interesting. And you know, when you're a child, there's a lot of moments when you can be bored. But then if you kind of shift your mind to, okay, what's going on here? Why is this person doing this? This is mysterious. And people are endlessly mysterious. They're always doing something that's maybe not what they want to do. But there's this little kind of like friction inside us. And when you see friction in someone else, you're like, okay, why is this happening? How can I learn about this? And I went to school in France. I have an MBA, and I was like, oh, golly, and I would never have said golly, merde. I was like, this is not my life. So I came to the U.S., and I was like, I want to do something that's creative. And I started working in documentary film in New York. I work with Michael Owen and Robin White, and they're amazing people. And we did documentaries for museums. And so I worked with amazing curators for different installations. And, you know, they were creating the content. So I started professionally to help other people tell the stories they wanted to tell. And it was awesome because the stories ended up, you know, at the Whitney or at the Jewish Museum in New York. So when you start to see stories everywhere, then you look for the tools on how to tell stories and how to capture them.
What would be one or two of the most fascinating stories you've you've discovered about people?
Wow. Fascinating stories I discovered about people. I don't know. It's like right now I'm really interested in identity and how we pick an identity and we take something and we associate it with our identity. And the political situation right now is a situation in which people have picked an identity and they're clinging to it in a fairly desperate sort of way. And you find, political people that are going to use the same words to describe themselves, like, I am patriotic. But their narrative is going to be completely different of what it is to be patriotic. And are you going to think that it is patriotic to kick people out of your frontiers? Or are you going to think that it's actually detrimental to the ideal of America and to what America is? And so you're going to keep that same label, but you're going to basically have a different narrative underneath it. And, you know, it is un-Christian to do so many things that Christians are doing right now. And it is also un-Republican to do so many of the things that the Republicans are doing right now. And so I'm really interested in the stories of people who are doing the opposite of what they think they're doing or what they say they're doing. And I think that in that kind of gap between what you believe in and what you stand for and what you're allowing things to happen, because right now we are all living in a complicit moment when we're allowing things to happen at the border frontiers with children that are separating from their parents. I don't think there's something more inhuman than to separate refugee children from their mothers or their grandparents. And I don't think there's anything more unchristian or more opposite to family values. And these are the things that people who are Christian and people who believe in family are okay with. And I found that fascinating. Why?
And changing gear to your own show, what was the influence and impetus for producing and performing in your own show?
So I guess it started with one of these strange moments when I found myself with an old enemy and doing the opposite of what I thought I would do and connecting. The old enemy was my evil grandmother. And then I did this whole show and it became a radio piece on this moment in time at the nursing home where my grandmother and I came to a sort of peace and understanding of each other, because she had Alzheimer's, so that's what allowed us to understand each other. I found myself doing a whole show on my grandmother, but really the character that was most important to me was my mother. My mother's amazing. I wish all of you could have met my mother. And so that's what I did. I just brought my mother to the stage. So I did the rest of my show, which is about my love story with my mom, and really bring some of how she saw the world and how she faced the world to the stage. And it's been, I started writing about my grandmother, I would say, 11 years ago. And so now I have written the part about my mom that I want to bring forth this time. I think she's an endless character. I'm looking forward to creating her own pages. But yeah, it's very meaningful for me to be able to go on stage. And just like before I sat on the stage, I just like, Catherine Keats helped me develop this. And she was like, what do you want to do this? And I'm like, I'm bringing my mother. I'm offering the gift of how awesome my mother was to you.
Thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us today.
I would be remiss if I didn't say a couple more things, because the path to creation is complicated, and I have had some people help me that I really, really want to acknowledge and thank. The first and foremost is David Ford, who works at the Marsh Theater, which is a fantastic place also to put up shows. And working with David, taking his class, was instrumental in me developing this piece. I also had stage works where I got to do solo Sundays. And, you know, it's like you're a performer, you're in San Francisco. San Francisco is a great place for developing your work. And I was so lucky that Bruce Patchman and Ty McKenzie allowed me to perform several times to workshop my show, so at the Marsh and then at the stage works. And, Kenny Yoon and Mercy Lee Jenkins were coaching me, and they're amazing people. Thank you so much respectful. They're, you know, it really takes more than a village. The Exit Theater is doing this, and this is amazing. Like, I would not have written the show if I hadn't picked to do this. And it's just like, they've been so nice and so generous, and all the volunteers have been so helpful. And it's just so great to be able to put your name in a hat, your name comes out, and then, yeah, you're going to have to put seats, butts in those seats, but you have seats you can put butts in, and you have to perform. So that's really, really, I'm very grateful. And also, thank you, Ken.